Hit the record button, man. Just get it over with. Hit it and just get in there. Dive in. Dive in, man. The great Betty Carter once said, the great jazz vocalist, once said, you start by starting. And that's it, man. That's the one for me. So, Betty Carter, thank you for that advice. I'm going to take it right now. And we're just going to start. Oscar Guy here. What's up? It's episode 2 of the Oscar Guy Here podcast. Welcome back. Thanks for all those who tuned into the first episode. If you have, I mean, I kind of did the hard launch yesterday, so probably going to be maybe 3 of you people, for all I know. But hey, man, it's on the internet until the internet goes away, which I hope that's not soon. So, hi, we're back. It's been a week since I've recorded the podcast, and this is the second episode, and today is September 12th, 2024, Thursday. And things have happened. There's some, you know, minor updates here and there as the season is just starting to kick off here. But yeah, I went on a road trip this past weekend with my buddy Rob, who has actually been mentioned. Actually, he was a special guest in one of my older videos. He was in my Avatar the Way of Water first impressions video. We went to go see Avatar the Way of Water New Year's Eve 2022. And we did a first impressions video in my car after we saw it. And yeah, so he's in that, and I have also mentioned him on a few of my review roundup videos, which I do every now and again. I think the two films that I've covered where he has had me watch it with him was The Dead Don't Die, the Jim Jarmusch film with Adam Driver, Bill Murray, et al. That one was okay. I wasn't crazy about it, but there were parts of it that I liked. But it was, I don't know, it didn't really work for me. Tilda Swinton, unbelievable chameleon in that movie. She's an alien. Spoilers. And then the other film that he made me watch was Howard the Duck. So, and that movie is probably one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. So, Rob likes the bad movies. And that's completely fine. If he wants to watch a movie, whatever it is, I'll watch it with him. I remember watching Leprechaun with him. You know what, man? I kind of enjoyed Leprechaun. It's terrible, but it's terrible. You know, it has intent of being terrible. It's one of those just campy 80s. Was it 80s? Late 80s, early 90s horror films. You know, it is what it is, you know. And he has informed me that Leprechaun in Space is by far the best one. So maybe I'll be watching that with him anyway. Anyway. I digress. I went on a road trip with him this past weekend. We went up to upstate New York, Catskills area, and we had a lot of fun. It was awesome. We went to a bunch of record shops, spent way too much money on records, and lo and behold, I left all the records I bought at his house. So that is awesome. Give me a round of applause for that. Wonderful. So it's going to be at least a month till I see those records again. So that's it, man. And I tried looking around for, like, movie stuff, and the only movie I remember buying was I found The Royal Tenenbaums on Criterion for $8. Hello? That's crazy, right? My favorite Wes Anderson film. Wonderful movie. And I got, yeah, that's what I got movie-wise, but everything else I got were either records or CDs. By the way, I have a record collection. It's like almost 600 records and going, so please help. Please help. So, yeah, it's getting out of hand. But I'd like to maybe start buying more DVDs, not really DVDs, but Blu-rays for sure. Blu-rays. I want to get my Blu-ray collection up, Criterion or not. That's something I want to build upon for sure. But yeah, that's what I did this past weekend. And wouldn't you know it, when we were at a diner in the Catskills getting lunch, and I think it was after we ate and we were getting the check, and I looked on my phone, and I think I was either on Twitter or Instagram or something like that, and I saw the award winners from the Venice Film Festival. And I let out a big when I saw that The Room Next Door won the Golden Lion, which I was very surprised by. You know, I've heard kind of mixed things on the movie. You know, it did get a really great reception and ovation at the Venice Film Festival, but from people who have seen it, you know, people are kind of hot or cold on it. But it is Almodovar. The substance is there, but, you know, I was just very shocked. I just thought that The Brutalist would... Now, The Brutalist did win the Silver Lion, which is basically the second place prize, and that really is a director prize. It actually went to Brady Corbett, the director of The Brutalist, which, that makes sense. But you would think that, you know, Almodovar would get the Silver Lion, and then... I don't know. It kind of threw everyone for a loop. It makes things exciting. So that was crazy when I found that out. And I tried to explain it to Rob. I was like, dude, you don't... Dude, I kept going, Room Next Door. Man. I was like walking to the car from the diner. I was like, Room Next Door. Man. And I just wonder what Rob was thinking. He was like, this guy, dude. Yeah. So, yeah. We'll get into the Venice Film Festival here in a bit. But I like to maybe like start off these episodes with saying like what I've watched, since the past, podcast episode. And I'll tell you what, I haven't been watching much of anything. But I will say the one movie that I did watch before my first podcast episode, that I didn't mention the last episode, was I rewatched The Breakfast Club. The Breakfast Club from 1985. The great teen comedy written and directed by one John Hughes. I always liked this movie. I remember watching it a while back, maybe in college or a little bit after college, and I remember enjoying it. So that was like maybe probably a decade, maybe a little bit less, 8, 9, 10 years since I've seen it. And, you know, for the most part, it holds up. But there are some aspects of the film in regards to, like, the writing and just the scenarios that have not aged well at all, folks. Yeah, real problematic stuff. Real problematic dialogue and scenarios, and I was like, oh my god, you can't get away with this. In particular, the scene with, you know, John Bender underneath the desk where Molly Ringwald's character is sitting, and yeah, I'm not going to go any further because it makes me uncomfortable just thinking about it. And then they, like, end up together at the end, and that's at that kind of, like, really, I was like, ah, god, man, we've come a long way, huh? So, yeah, there's some parts of it that was just a little oof, oh, god. But nevertheless, it's still a very highly influential film in regards to, like, the teen. Like, if you asked anybody what the best teen comedy movie is of all time, that's probably in the top three, if not one or two. I can't really think of any other teen film that is, like, in the pan. Like, that is the teen film. Like, that is the one that kind of started it all, right? Even, like, the, you know, the movie poster of all five of them. That was very influential in how teen films were marketed from then on. So, you know, you gotta respect the intent, you know, and the legacy of The Breakfast Club. you know, still a great movie, but again, could, I mean, it would be interesting if they remade that. They were talking about doing a sequel, but it just never happened. And it was interesting to, I was looking it up, and it was interesting to find out that John Bender, the bully character in the film, played by Judd Nelson, I think is his name, was that part was originally intended for John Cusack. I was like, oh, okay. And he was cast. And then last minute, they switched to Judd Nelson for whatever reason. He really, really, really wanted the part, and he was kind of method acting in a way. I mean, he was like going to like high schools and like pretending he was a student and like going to laundromats and like looking at like girls there and having the cops called him on him, allegedly. Like, I mean, he went for it, and he even was in character during the shoot, and he was kind of harassing and bullying Molly Ringwald off camera, and John Hughes almost fired him. And I think some of the other actors were like, nah, you know, he's just doing his thing, it's okay, you know, whatever. And he didn't have much of a career after that, right? Great performance. All of them wonderful. Matthew Michael Hall, Mr. Emilio Estevez, Molly Ringwald, Ally Sheedy, even like the vice principal guy, Paul Gleason, I think is his name. And I'm on the Letterboxd page right now. Yeah, good movie. Just like a little, but that's pretty much the only film that I've seen since more or less the last episode. So I haven't really been watching much. I do need to get back into my Operation watch list for sure. But yeah. Hold on one second. I have to. No, never mind. Okay. We're not gonna cut this out. It's raw, ladies and gentlemen. It's raw. It is raw. We're raw dogging it. But yeah, other than that, I guess we can get into like some recent happenings in the awards race, right? In the industry. The Brutalist was acquired by A24. It was trying to find a distributor, as it has been premiering at Venice and, you know, getting all the raves it's been getting. It was on the market for a little bit, and A24 picked it up, which I was kind of surprised about, because A24 already has Sing Sing and some other films, I think. I think they also have A Different Man. I didn't really expect A24 to get it. I was kind of like expecting maybe, I don't know, Warner Brothers, or, I mean, Searchlight kind of has their plate full. A24, it was kind of a shock, to be honest. They bought it for $10 million. And yeah, I think they are going to really campaign the hell out of The Brutalist, because it's obviously the most critically acclaimed film of the year. It's a shoo-in for several Academy Awards as of right now, I think. I'm just looking to see which films A24 have this year. Okay, so they have Sing Sing. They have Queer as well. They also have Baby Girl. They have A Different Man. And they have High and Low, which I don't think is coming out this year. So, since The Brutalist is now A24's baby, and Sing Sing's track record and box office performance is kind of going down the drain, does this mean that Sing Sing is dead? Some people say yes. I kind of say yes. I don't think it's completely dead, but it could turn into like a past live situation where at the end of the day it might get one or two Oscar nominations. Maybe picture, maybe screenplay, maybe best actor for Colman Domingo, and that's pretty much it. If it does anything more than that, I'd be surprised. Maybe Clarence Macklin still has a shot for a nomination in supporting actor. But with A24 kind of, with The Brutalist being in this, in the same conversation, I mean, The Brutalist, I mean, it's probably going to get double-digit nominations for sure. Picture, director, screenplay, actor, supporting actor, supporting actress, editing, cinematography, I mean, all the bad boys, all the major techs, it's going to really perform well. And yeah, I we're just going to have to see. I mean, I really feel bad for Sing Sing too, because it's such a great movie. And you know, it had promise at the beginning of this year. And I don't know how well it did box office wise compared to Past Lives last year. I think it's kind of in the same situation where it, you know, premiered early. It kind of had a limited release, very, you know, very modest box office show, you know, showings and whatnot. I don't know. It could be this year's Past Lives. Some are even saying, I mean, my buddy Jacob, shout out to Jacob. He doesn't believe it at all. He doesn't even, it could even be goose egged, which is a little bit of a stretch, if I'm being honest. It's possible. It's certainly possible. It certainly is a possibility, dude. But yeah, I don't know. It doesn't look good for Sing Sing now that the Brutalist is in the picture now. And kind of sort of the same thing with Queer. Queer did premiere at Venice, and it has proved to be probably one of the most divisive films of the year. Some people really enjoy it. Some people it doesn't work for them at all. It's a very strange movie, one of Guadagnino's strangest. It goes into really strange experimental territory near the end of the film. And that is not working for some people. And that's being made clear. But I've heard wonderful things about Daniel Craig. He could maybe still get his first Oscar nomination. I've heard great things about the supporting actors. Their names are escaping me at the moment, so please bear with me as I type on my loud-ass mechanical keyboard. Drew Starkey's in it, and I hear he's wonderful. I think, isn't there another one? Omar Apollo, I think he's the other one. Leslie Manville is apparently in it. She's got really long hair. Interesting. Yeah, it's got a 3.5 average rating on Letterboxd right now. I'm seeing a lot of fours, a lot of 3.5s, a lot of threes, 10% 4.5, 6% 5. So it's like, you know, it's. I don't know how the Academy is going to respond to that. I hear the vision is very impressive, like directorially, like the direction is very bold. Interesting cinematography and editing choices by Guadagnino. So I don't know. Maybe he'll get like a director nomination at some precursors, and then maybe miss DGA at the very end and miss at the Oscars. I don't know. It's kind of early to say, but I've heard that it's a little hit or miss. So with A24 having that as well, maybe they will have The Brutalist as their primary horse in this race. And then maybe Queer is kind of like off to the side, and Sing Sing is kind of off to the side. So they could have two best picture nominees, but out of those three, I would say the Brutalist and maybe Sing Sing would get into picture. I don't think Queer would be a best picture nominee, but we'll have to see. But that's just my that's my feeling as of now. What else? Night Bitch is apparently very good. I guess the trailer that came out, the Night Bitch trailer that came out, does not reflect the movie, tone-wise, and pretty much in regards to everything that the film portrays. Thank God, because that trailer didn't do anybody any favors. But it premiered, and people say it's pretty good. It's a very interesting breakdown of motherhood, in a kind of this really bizarre dog transformation fashion. I don't really know. But I'm color me interested, color me convinced. I'm still kind of wary about Amy Adams possibly getting into actress. I don't know if Academy voters are going to respond to that. I just don't know. I don't know. But I feel better about it now. I felt weird and really put off by Night Bitch for a little bit, but now I think it maybe has a shot at, I don't know, I don't think it's going to be an Oscars movie at all, is the thing. Maybe screenplay? Maybe it'll get screenplay? And then Amy Adams will miss? That's what I'm feeling right now. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see once the award season kind of kicks into high gear as the fall progresses. Saturday Night, I hear, is wonderful. It's been going gangbusters at both Telluride and, I guess it was at TIFF, right? Yeah, Saturday Night was at TIFF. I think that has a shot to get possibly a picture nomination. Screenplay for sure. I hear screenplay is almost a shoo-in, and it probably is even threatening to win. It's kind of going up against Anora, so that's a big competition. Anora also has been going gangbusters. I mean, Anora and The Brutalist are two films that it seems that everybody out there has universally praised. Aside from, I guess, Sing Sing, but maybe Sing Sing's not even a part of this conversation because my aforementioned points. I'm worried about it. But yeah, Saturday Night. I'm stoked about it. I can't wait to see it. My boy Gabriel LaBelle is delivering, from what I hear. Oscar nomination, I don't think is possible because I've heard that the cast in general is the most impressive aspect of the acting in that film. So maybe he can get like a Golden Globe nomination, or like maybe he'll get into SAG. I don't know, but I doubt an Oscar nomination. It'd be a great surprise. But yeah, I don't know. So that's Saturday Night. What else premiered? A lot of things. Hard Truths from Mike Lee, I hear, is pretty good. What is the actress from that film that has been getting raves for her performance? Let's see. Hard Truths. Marianne Jean-Baptiste is the lead actress in that film, and she is actually a former nominee. She was nominated for, I forget, a film in the 90s in supporting actress. Let me see. Marianne Jean-Baptiste was in Secrets and Lies, right? Yeah. 96. That is on my watch list. So, you know, there's something there. I hear she's riveting in this film. Plays a very complicated kind of curmudgeon-y character in this film. But I've heard pretty good things about this film. You know, Mike Lee is a great director. So there's that. I think I'm going to keep her in my, I don't know if she's in my 5, but she's definitely in my 10 for Best Actress. So we'll see where that goes, right? What's going on here, man? What else is happening at TIFF? TIFF is, how long does TIFF go for? I think it ends this weekend, I want to say. I think, like, the think they're voting on the People's Choice pretty soon. Okay, so we've got a few days left. Last day is Sunday the 15th, and maybe they'll, they're probably going to announce the TIFF Audience Award winner and two runners-up this weekend. So, I guess I'll give my predictions for that. I didn't talk about The Wild Robot either. Yeah, The Wild Robot, another film that is universally praised. Animated film, tearjerker from what I hear. Cate Blanchett was talking it up at TIFF. I hear the animation's beautiful. It's very emotionally riveting. It's moving. It is, from what I hear, the pinnacle of DreamWorks animation. So perhaps that is the front runner for animated feature. Maybe it is giving Inside Out 2 a run for its money. So it's going to be those two guys head to head all season long. Flo, I hear, is fantastic as well. Which I think is, a Latvian animated film about a cat. I've heard that's wonderful, so that's probably in there. So we got two other slots. Will Wallace and Gromit can sneak in. Sure. Other than that, I'm not sure. Let me pull up my tentative predictions, because God forbid my predictions have been all over the place since the festivals have kicked off. Memoir of a Snail. I've heard great things about it. So maybe that'll be the five. Wild Robot, Inside Out 2, Flo, Memoir of a Snail, and that fifth slot. Wallace and Gromit, perhaps. Piece by Piece, perhaps. The Lego movie about Pharrell Williams. Possibly Moana 2 still needs to come out. Is that even coming out this year? Let me see. It's on my list, so I'm assuming yes. Yeah, November 27th. Oh, there is a trailer for it. Okay. Haven't even seen the trailer for Moana 2 yet. Where the hell have I been? Okay, so I don't know. Yeah, maybe we're going to have to see. But, Wild Robot. They had a crap ton of screenings at TIFF. They really want that audience award. And last year was actually the first year where an animated film got into the top three at TIFF. And that was Boy and the Heron, of course. I think it was first or second runner-up. So maybe history will be made once again, and maybe it could even walk away with the audience award. For me, it's between... Wild Robot... I would be very shocked that if Wild Robot and Saturday Night were not in the top three at TIFF. The third one could be Conclave. I'm gonna say, here's my prediction. I'm gonna go out on a limb and I'm gonna say The Wild Robot walks away with the audience award. Saturday Night in either the first or second runner-up, and then maybe Conclave. The thing is, Anora really didn't have that many showings at TIFF, so I doubt that could win a spot in the top three. I wish I had the number of showings for each film at TIFF in front of me, or I would understand that better. But I think for right now, I'll just go with Wild Robot, Saturday Night, Conclave. I think that sounds safe. If I'm missing anything, and I probably am, I'm on the record. Let me just, we'll do it live, folks. TIFF 2024 showings. Number of showings. Festival schedule. Jeez, am I really looking up the TIFF schedule? Festival schedule, okay. Can you give it to me? Por favor. Oh, Will and Harper was the other one. Yeah, that documentary with Will Ferrell and his transgender friend as they go on the road, I hear went gangbusters at the TIFF Lightbox Theater 1, it looks like. So maybe that could surprise and get into the top 3. That's certainly possible. I doubt Queer is going to get in. Let me see what has been showing. Oh yeah, Emilia Perez. I'm not sure how many showings Emilia Perez had, but that's very possible. Yeah. I don't know how well Emilia Perez has been doing at TIFF. I know it performed really well at Telluride, but it was kind of mixed positive at Cannes, and I think it's been mixed positive at TIFF. So I don't know. Maybe that might miss the top 3. It does have a 3.7 average rating on Letterboxd as of now. Some people really like it. Doesn't work for other people. It's trying to tackle a bunch of different things. It wants to be different things. It's like a musical, a melodrama, a legal drama, like an action film, crime thriller thing. It wants to be a lot of things. And some people are saying it's a bit messy, but highly entertaining nonetheless. And Carla Sofia Gascón is apparently giving a great performance, and she might get into... She's definitely solidly in my top 5 for best actress, for sure. And Zoe Saldana and Selena Gomez are supporting players as well. So maybe, I don't know, maybe that could get into the top 3 at TIFF. But I would say, here's what I'll do. Top 2... Wild Robot, and Saturday Night. And then the possibilities for that second runner-up would be maybe Conclave, maybe Emilia Perez, maybe... what was the other one I was thinking of? What was I just... Oh, yeah, Will and Harper. Will and Harper. I think I'll leave it at that, without sounding like a broken record live recording the podcast. I think we'll just leave it at that, right? Yeah, man. That's TIFF, man. I hope to go there one of these days. Hey, TIFF, how's it going? Wink, wink. Love to go there. Love. I actually almost went to Toronto, but instead I went on that road trip that I mentioned. So yeah, one of these years I'll make it up there. So that is that. That TIFF is going on until this Sunday, and then after that, A Different Man is apparently coming out next weekend, and then the weekend after that, The Wild Robot is going to be coming out, and that is when NIFF will begin, and that is the New York Film Festival, and that is like the final, I guess, major fall film festival before, these films are starting to get released wide, nationally, globally, things of that nature. So that is the current radar for upcoming things and stuff and whatnot and what have you. Speaking of NIFF, so I'm sure some of you, or maybe even all of you, are familiar with the Criterion Closet, where they get filmmakers and actors and figures in the industry to go into this closet where there's all of these Criterion Collection films that are surrounded, they're essentially surrounding them on all sides, and they have to kind of like pick they're basically shopping for Criterion titles on camera, and they talk about each movie they pick up and why, and you know, the history behind it and whatnot. And it's great content for sure. And people are really into it. And there was a tweet or a picture going around that people were speculating that the Criterion Closet is actually in a truck and not in an actual building. And I think that turned out to be untrue. But regardless of that, they announced, I think maybe Criterion kind of picked up on this, and they announced that they are going on the road with the Criterion Closet and actually putting it in a truck. And they are actually going to take it to places so people can actually peruse in the Criterion Closet in this truck. Basically making the meme a thing. So people are very excited about it. And its first stop will be at NIFF, at New York Film Festival. It will be there. I don't know how you even get into it, or what it's going to be like, or how they're going to restock it, or who's going to fill the gas in the truck, or who's going to be driving it, or, you know, if it's got a new catalytic converter in it, what kind of wheels it's got. Stop, James. Bad joke. I don't know, man. But I did see that, and I thought that was cute. They actually did the thing, the Criterion Closet truck. So by the truck. Inside joke. So yeah, man. NIFF is another one. I would like to go to NIFF as well. NIFF is a long. It's a long festival. That starts September 27th and it ends October 14th. How long is that? One, two. That's like a little over 2 weeks. That's a long festival, man. That is a long film festival. But the Philadelphia Film Festival is coming up as well, and I'm gonna try to go. I'm not gonna go for the whole thing. I don't think I'm gonna be able to get press passes this year. I probably should have jumped on that, but I don't know, might be too late. In any case, I'm probably gonna go see some things at the Philadelphia Film Festival because that is in my neck of the woods. And that, those dates, I think that is in October. That is in October 2024, Philadelphia Film Fest 24. October 17th through the 27th. Right. Yeah, maybe Anora or Nickel Boys or, you know, Saturday Night will be there, or Conclave, you know, some of these big boys. I don't think they've released their schedule yet, but I'm definitely going to be heading down there. Going to be buying individual tickets because I'm not in the club yet. Yet. Keyword, yet. Will be. Not yet. So that's coming up. What was I just talking about? I guess Joker Folie à Deux. I could talk about that too. It's not been doing as good as the first film. It's much different from the first film. I think I talked about this in the first episode, actually. I'm not super confident in it. I don't think box office wise it's going to perform nearly as well as the first one. Maybe Lady Gaga still has a shot in supporting or lead if they campaign her in lead. I wouldn't be surprised. But as far as like best picture, text, things of that nature, don't think it's going to happen. I'll be kind of surprised because, you know, it's getting a little crowded. And I think it's just going to lose steam before it even comes out. But we'll see what happens. It is coming out in October, right before Halloween, so maybe it'll, you know, catch on and people will be into it. I don't know. So what else? There's some uncertainties, some films that are not premiering at these festivals that we don't know a whole lot about, but they're still in our predictions and in our lists just to kind of keep an eye on them until we know more about them, or we see a trailer, or we actually have people starting to see these films. Blitz is one of them, the new Steve McQueen film starring Saoirse Ronan. I think Harris Dickinson is in it. We don't really know anything about it. It could be a dud. It could be great. It could be mid. We don't know. That is, I think, the closing night at NIFF, if I recall correctly. So that's kind of an uncertainty. Another one is A Complete Unknown, which we do have a trailer for. It looks pretty promising. Timmy Chalamet might snag that Best Actor nomination. And, you know, Edward Norton with his Pete Seeger performance. Possible supporting actor potential there. But it's not coming out till Christmas, and I don't think there's going to be any... There could be press screenings, maybe before it comes out, but it's not going to be at any of these festivals, so... That is skipping the festivals, so we're going to have to be patient with that one. And, more recently, in more recent news, sound like a baseball commentary. More recently, in more recent news, Clint Eastwood's new film, Juror Number 2, is apparently coming out this year, and that could shake up the Oscar. Now I'm sounding like Chris Hansen. That could shake up the Oscar race. But yeah, Juror Number 2, the new Clint Eastwood film, was originally kind of on hold, and now I think it's coming out in November. So depending on how good that's going to be, I don't really know much about it as far as like its potential per se. But I do know that Toni Collette is in it and could be giving a very worthy performance of perhaps an Academy Award nomination. Now that Best Supporting Actress is kind of sort of opening up, more or less, she could have a slot. But it kind of depends on what this film is going to be and how good it is. You know, Clint Eastwood's track record as of late isn't great. This might be his last, if not one of his last films, because, ladies and gentlemen, our boy is 94 years old. That's crazy, man. And he's still directing films. What a badass. Eastwood's accolades include 4 Academy Awards, 4 Golden Globe Awards, 3 Caesar Awards, and an AFI Lifetime Achievement Award. Thanks, Wikipedia. Yeah, man. So, yeah, I don't know, man. Let's go into his filmography to see what he has made. Cry Macho, yeah. Didn't think that was, that didn't do too good. Richard Jewell here was okay. I know that Kathy Bates got a supporting actress nomination for that. The Mule I hear is pretty good. 1517 to Paris, I've never even heard of. Sully was good. So, and then the film before that was American Sniper. Ladies and gentlemen, if we go back to 2014, the year of our Lord, American Sniper was kind of a late bloomer in that award season. It wasn't really showing up anywhere, and then it was kind of campaigned into the ground in Q1 2015, and it ended up getting like a boatload of Oscar nominations. Maybe Juror Number 2 could, if the film is of that quality, then maybe there's a chance for that to be kind of in the conversation more than we realize. But I don't know, it's early to say, but I'm going to keep it in the back of my head that at least Toni Collette could sneak in. But I think I'll just leave it there. We don't know a lot. I don't think we even have a trailer yet. Excuse me. Excuse me while I sip on my vintage seltzer water. Hear that? Hear that? So, yeah, Juror Number 2. Come on, James, stop coughing into the microphone. Son of a bitch. Yeah, those are the uncertainties. I think Blitz, Complete Unknown, Juror Number 2. I've heard wonderful things about The Substance. Again, you know me, I mean, I've said it before, but I'm not a body horror guy. I can't really do body horror. It's very specific. You know, like, I can watch zombie films and stuff like that, where zombies' heads are getting blown off and legs are getting shot off and everything. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is, like, the inner workings of the body, like the tissue and the organs and, like, the Cronenberg stuff. Like, no. Keep it as far away from me as possible. It just, I don't know what it is. Like, I can watch it, but, like, on a deep level, it just really disturbs my brain. And my brain is like, this ain't cool. Get all of the blood out of the brain right now, so you're lightheaded and dizzy and almost faint. It's happened. I haven't fainted at films before, but I've come very close. I even went to, like, I remember going to, like, the human body exhibit I think it was the Franklin Institute in Philly. And I remember, like, being kind of, like, it was cool, but, like, I had to, like, kind of break off from my friends and, like, kind of sit down and collect myself because I was getting lightheaded. And Akira, if you've seen Akira, at the end of the film, Tetsuo turns into this giant flesh monster, and it's pretty insane. And I remember almost fainting from that. And Prometheus. If you know the scene, I'm not going to give it away, but there's a scene in Prometheus where all I'm going to say, a woman is on the operating table, and yeah. And that, yeah. I'm just going to leave it at that. And that almost made me faint. So, body horror. No, can't do it. So, The Substance, from what I've heard, is exactly the type of film that I should not see. So, I will not be seeing it. But, in any case, I hear it's fantastic. It's one of the best body horror films, possibly, of all time, from what people were saying about it. Insane practical effects, insane makeup, really dark, really grisly and gruesome, but also a lot of, like, Get Out-esque humor thrown in to kind of balance things out. People are saying that if it's shortlisted for best makeup at the Oscars, then it's going to get into the makeup at the Oscars, if not even win. So, if anything, maybe that can show up. Outside of that, I don't think it's going to perform anywhere else. I don't know. I don't know how the Academy is going to react to that movie. We'll see. That comes out, I think, next month. So it is kind of showing at... I wonder how it did at TIFF Midnight. It had a midnight screening at TIFF, so I'm guessing that went gangbusters. But yeah, man, I think that's all I got. I mean, oh yeah, the Spider-Verse news. So Spider-Man Beyond the Spider-Verse, the third film in the Spider-Verse trilogy, it was delayed last year, a little over a year ago. It was indefinitely delayed. It was supposed to come out this year originally, but it was delayed, and the animators in Across the Spider-Verse were worked almost to death, apparently. So Beyond the Spider-Verse was delayed, and there was a report that came out. It turned out to be not true, but I don't even know where this report came from, but reportedly Sony said that they had quote-unquote scrapped most of Beyond the Spider-Verse, and it's not going to see the light of day until at least 2027. And then people were like, ah, just kill me. People just were like very upset about it. And it kind of caught the wind of the creators of Spider-Verse, or the directors rather. Phil Miller. Oh, God. Phil and Christopher Robin. Yeah. Phil Fish, creator of Fez, and Christopher Robin of Winnie the Pooh. Those guys directed the Spider-Verse movies. No. Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. There we go. Phil Lord and Christopher Miller. It got to them, and then they were like, this isn't true at all. We haven't scrapped anything. It's in good hands. It's fine. And everybody was like, whew. Now, where the hell did that first report come from, you know? Sony, what are we doing here, bud? What are we doing here? So yeah, it's still being worked on. I don't know when it's coming out. It's probably not going to come out till probably for a while, probably 1 or 2 years at least. Beyond the Spider-Verse in production. Ooh, a spin-off film titled Spider-Woman is in development. Hello. I would love a Spider-Gwen film. That would be incredible. Yeah, Spider-Verse composer weighs in after inaccurate claim about new film. Yeah. Spider-Verse producer Chris Miller denies report that Sony scrapped most of third film. Reels are coming along nicely. Yeah, weird. Weird. Real weird. Last June, Vulture published a report alleging unsustainable work conditions on the second film. Across Spider-Verse claiming that approximately 100 artists left the project, citing 11-hour workdays, 7 days a week. Can't do it. Don't do it, folks. Pay your animators fairly if you want to do that. Give them double time. Can't do that. Don't do that. Yeah, man. Beyond the Spider-Verse, originally slated to open March 29th, 2024. No new release date has been announced, so yeah, we're probably not going to see it for another probably 2 years or something. Take as much time as you need, animators. Don't work yourselves to death. When it comes out, it comes out. You'll get that best animated feature prize that Boy and Heron stole from you last year. No disrespect to Boy and the Heron. I did predict Spider-Verse to win last year, and it didn't, so I'm kind of, you know what I'm saying? It's like, come on. Just scrolling through Twitter right now as we're wrapping up. I guess we can wrap up this podcast for right now. I'm just kind of scrolling through. Oh, yeah, the new Anora trailer came out. It looks wonderful. Can't wait to see that. November 1st. That's going to be a big day. So I think that comes out November 1st, then Conclave, and I think A Real Pain comes out as well. So that's going to be a big day for me. Baby Girl, I hear great things about. Still don't know if the Academy is going to respond well to an erotic thriller. I don't know. We'll see. If anything, I think Nicole Kidman might. Oh yeah, Nicole Kidman did win Best Actress at the Venice. Oh, we didn't even talk about the Venice Film Festival Award winners. Let's do that real quick. So she won Best Actress, the Volpe Cup for Best Actress at the Venice Film Festival. I don't know how correlative that is to Best Actress at the Oscars, but it's there. So she won Best Actress at the Venice Film Festival, and unfortunately her mother passed away like the same day, and she had to fly out for that. And I really apologize to you, Nicole Kidman. My condolences for that. But maybe that could, well, I don't know. I don't want to say like, oh, that's going to start her narrative or whatever. No, that's selfish of me to say that. No. My condolences, Nicole Kidman, whether or not there's going to be a campaign for you this year. I wish you the best. Pray for your family. But that being said, maybe there's a world where she gets nominated. Because she's Nicole Kidman after all. She's been nominated a bunch of times before. Former winner. So yeah, Nicole Kidman, man. Yeah, I've heard comparisons. Her performance in Baby Girl is kind of giving Eyes Wide Shut. Love that. Love that movie. So yeah, I'll watch it. So she was nominated for Moulin Rouge, won for The Hours, nominated for Rabbit Hole, nominated for Lion, and then nominated for Being the Ricardos. So she's got 5 noms under her belt with 1 win. So, you know, performing pretty well there. Let's see. Okay, before we wrap up this episode, we are going to look up Venice Film Festival Awards. Here we go. So Room Next Door won Golden Lion. What the hell is that? Still want to see it. I'm just very shocked that that won. I was like, wow. Okay. I got to get on the Almodovar train, and I think that is where I will start. I'll definitely be seeing that. Let's see. What were the awards? Official awards. Here we go. Okay, Grand Jury Prize went to Vermiglio. I am unfamiliar with this film. I am unfamiliar with this film, so I have nothing really to say about it. Vermiglio is what I have to say about Vermiglio. Special Jury Prize went to April. I hear that was really great. Yeah, that was kind of a surprise at the festival. Near the end of the festival, they showed that, and it really it turned out to be pretty effective. And Luca Guadagnino is a producer on it as well. Interesting. It is an abortion story. Kind of a tough watch from what I've heard, but it did win the Special Jury Prize, so I hear it's very good. Not main competition entry. Got 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. By Dia. Not gonna be able to pronounce that last name. Oh, she did Beginning. Oh, Beginning in 2020. I hear that's a good one. She went to the New School. Hell yeah. So Silver Lion went to The Brutalist, to Brady Corbett. Much deserved. Volpe Cup for Best Actress went to Nicole Kidman for Baby Girl, as mentioned. Volpe Cup for Best Actor went to Vincent Lindon in The Quiet Son, which is a film that I am also unfamiliar with. Kind of a shocker, if I'm gonna be honest. You know, over Daniel Craig, Conclave wasn't there. I guess Daniel Craig, Adrian Brody, Joaquin Phoenix, I guess. But yeah, I guess so. Those are the only ones. Only, like, best actor prospects that I'm thinking of. He beat out Adrian Brody, and he beat out... Adrian Brody, by the way, I hear, gives a career-defining performance in The Brutalist, so he might be 1 or 2 for best actor this year, by the way. He won over Daniel Craig, who I hear is wonderful and queer as well, so... congratulations to Vincent Lindon. He looks familiar. What has he been in? He is a Frenchman. French actor and filmmaker. He also won Best Actor at the 2015 Cannes Film Festival for The Measure of a Man. Okay. I feel like I've seen him in something. I can't put my finger on it. Well, he voiced Chief in Isle of Dogs. There's that. I don't recognize any of these films. They're all French films. Yeah, I don't know, man. I know I've seen him before, but Oh, he was in Teton. That's right. I didn't watch Teton. Again, body horror. Yeah, I remember watching the trailer for it or clips of it, and his face. Yeah, his face. His face. I definitely recognized his face from that trailer. So that's the guy. That's the guy. Golden Ocella for best screenplay went to I'm Still Here. I've heard that's a great movie. That is, I think, the Brazilian submission. Or it might most likely be the Brazilian submission for international feature this year. I've heard that's a good one. I hear Fernanda Torres gives amazing performance in that film. I will be seeing it at some point, especially if it gets nominated or shortlisted. And then the Marcello Mastroianni Award goes to Paul Kircher for And Their Children and For Them. Okay, those are the main films. Audience Award, The Witness. Okay, see, these are all just minor awards. So, yeah, anyway. Room Next Door, Golden Lion. And then Silver Lion went to The Brutalist. There's the two big boys. So Volpi Cup for Best Actress. Let's see. Last year it went to Kaylee Spaney. No. Yes? Yes. Kaylee Spaney and Priscilla was last year. Cate Blanchett and Tar was 2022. 2021, Penelope Cruz and Parallel Mothers. She ended up getting that surprise Best Actress nomination that year. Vanessa Kirby, Pieces of a Woman. So since 2020, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 80%, no, 60% correlation there. Because Kaylee Spaney missed last year. She wasn't really close. But Cate Blanchett, Penelope Cruz, Vanessa Kirby all got in. Olivia Colman won it for The Favorite. She ended up winning the Oscar. Same with Emma Stone and La La Land. And then before that, you know, it's been Imelda Staunton, Vera Drake won it, and she was nominated. Same with Julianne Moore, Far From Heaven. It's been kind of hit or miss in the aughts and the 2010s, but starting in 2016, it's been, like, kind of, sort of, like, I guess 60-40 correlative, so definitely keep Nicole Kidman in the conversation, based on that brief deep dive there. I'm definitely going to probably keep her at least number 4 or 5 for Best Actress. So yeah, that's Venice. So next up, I guess, looking into the future, I guess we'll just have to see who wins at TIFF, what the runners-up are, and who wins the Audience Award, because whoever wins the Audience Award, guess what? You're nominated for Best Picture. So, I'll definitely be having more things to talk about next week in regards to that, and probably in regards to other things. More news will be coming out. I'm sure new trailers will be dropping. I think we're going to leave it at that, folks. So, that's it, man. That's it. So thanks everyone for listening in. Gonna probably be doing one of these a week, you know, typical podcast schedule. Thursday, I guess. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, near the end of the week every week, I'll be probably pushing one of these up. Maybe 1 or 2 weeks here and there I'll be taking off, but I'm going to try to make this a consistent thing. So, again, thanks everybody for listening. I'll see you next week. Have a good one. Thanks for coming along the ride. And ladies and gentlemen, Oscar Guy is...